Honey, I'm home.
Oh, hello, dear. How was your day?
Awful. I had to fire three people. I caught them Xeroxing illegally.
Oh, that's a shame.
I'll say.
Well, you just take it easy tonight, dear. Have a rest. Put your feet up.
That's nice. No worries.
I made your favorite dinner.
Swedish pancakes? I love Swedish pancakes.
No. Actually, I made boiled squash.
That's not my favorite.
But I thought... I got confused.
How could you possibly confuse Swedish pancakes with boiled squash?
There weren't any pictures on the boxes. But never mind, George. Lie back, relax. I'll make you a drink.
Great, honey. A martini. A big martini.
Coming right up.
You know, it's a shame about those three people at the office. Fred's wife just had a leg amputated, and he isn't on a medical plan now. How's he going to pay for that? Amputations don't come cheap these days, you know.
I should say not.
And Shirley, she's supporting her husband while he's in dental school, and she's paying two mortgages. Two!
Oh, dear. Well, there's nothing you can do, George. Don't worry. Here's your martini.
Thanks, honey. Oh, God! What is this?
It's a martini. Half rum and half vodka.
That's not a martini, you cow!
Oh, Lord, silly me. I got mixed up again, I guess.
Well, never mind. I'd rather stay sober anyway. Let's have dinner. You know, honey, I think that is my favorite.
I told you, silly.
I guess I get confused sometimes, too, dearest.
George, oh, George, how I miss you when you're gone.
Yes, Cornelia, I miss you too, but now we're together, and after that superb meal, I...
What is it, my only? Say it! Say it!
I want...
Anything, my love, anything!
I want...
Dearest, 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 you have no reason to be shy. We are one in mind and body. Your thoughts are my thoughts. Your desires are my desires. Say it! Tell me what you want!
I want... Dessert.
Oh. Oh, right. Just a second. Here.
This is good.
Glad you like it. George, how about afterwards we, you know, go up to the bedroom, I'll slip into something more comfortable, and we, well, you know, make love?
What? Are you serious? That's the second time this year you've asked me that. I mean, Jesus. Jesus!
I know, George, and I'm sorry I keep bringing it up, but I just saw it since we were married 17 years ago today, and... We've only made love twice in all those years that we might make this a special...
My God, woman, what's wrong with you? Insatiable, that's what you are. Insatiable!
But, George, it's not as if it were a moral.
Morals have nothing to do with it. It's the principle of the thing. I mean, we've done it twice in 17 years. That's about once every 8 years, for crying out loud. I'd say that's a pretty good average.
I know, dear, but still, I hope...
Some people I know do it 3 or 4 times a year, and some people, some really degenerate perverts do it... Constantly. Maybe monthly. For the love of God, honey, think of it.
I have.
And there are those who never do it. Well, the lucky bastards. Well, that's where I draw the line. I mean, I won't overindulge, but I won't underindulge either. So let's have no more talk like that, if you please. No more.
All right, George, all right. What shall we do tonight? Watch TV?
Yeah. I thought that would be a nice change.
What change? We do that every night.
Well, I know we do. I mean, for a change for me, from work. Firing people, you know?
Well, what's on?
See, there's a National Geographic special on the Educational Network. It's called Existentialism and Penguins. Sounds dull.
What else?
Channel 8's running an I Love Lucy marathon.
Still?
Yep. They're into their ninth straight month. Nothing but Lucy and Ricky.
And Ethel and Fred.
And little Ricky.
Don't forget all those guest stars.
But 9 months? It's a bit much.
That's true, unless you like Lucy.
Well, why don't we just switch it on and see what turns up?
Fine, George, that's just fine.
I hope there's something good on. I'd really like to see a good movie, say, Abbott and Costello Meet the Wolfman, or Ma and Pa Kettle Go Hunting, or maybe Fellini's Satyricon.
I'd like to see an old Dick Tracy, Audrey Hepburn movie. They were a great team. Too bad they died.
Yeah, how did he die, anyway?
From what I've heard, she threw a toaster into his bathtub after they'd had a fight.
Oh, my God. He was electrocuted?
No, he wasn't anywhere near the bathtub, which was empty anyway.
Well, then how...
Well, Tracy came back to his house and went into the kitchen for a toasted cheese and tomato sandwich. He noticed the toaster was missing and phoned the cops.
Yeah, but how...
The police arrived, took all the details, wasted over an hour and a half. One of the cops went into the bathroom to relieve himself and saw the toaster. He brought it into the living room where the others were. Tracy spotted the toaster and attacked the cop, shouting, "Thief! Goddamn thief!" The other policeman shot him to death right there.
And how about Hepburn?
Well, she was making a big money picture called Today's Miracle Medals with a cast of iron. She heard the news of Dick's accident and was so guilt and grief-stricken that she plunged her co-star, a 6-inch polished aluminum drill bit, into her stomach and died right there on the set.
Well, don't that beat all?
The sad thing was, of course, that both stars had left their money to the other, and with both dead, the money just went to the government.
Why, is that sad?
Because the government used the money to build a huge movie star's museum, which attracted hundreds of thousands of visitors every year.
But why is that sad?
Because Tracy and Hepburn hadn't left quite enough money, and the whole thing collapsed one day, killing 1,300 people, and ruining the only known nude photographs of Johnny Weissmuller and Richard Nixon.
Together?
Of course together. You think they'd let somebody take their picture naked if they were alone?
I'd never heard of such a thing. The picture was ruined?
From the waist up. There's debate about whether one can tell Nixon from Weissmuller because of his varicose veins.
That's right. Weissmuller didn't have varicose veins, did he?
Not that I've heard.
I've always thought he had beautiful legs. Anyway, this looks like it's worth watching.
Coming up next, that new exciting rockin' sockin' hour-long hit game show, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah!
Announcing a new deodorant in keeping with the wholesome, natural way you want to live.
Psst.
New Sweat and Sour, the deodorant that lets everyone know what a natural person you really are.
Psst.
New Sweat and Sour, the deodorant that makes you smell like you've never heard of deodorant.
Psst.
New Sweat and Sour, in two refreshingly different fragrances, Truck Driver and Harried Housewife.
Psst.
New Sweat and Sour, the deodorant that makes you smell like you smell.
Next Saturday on Three's Company, Chrissy has a problem.
I'm pregnant.
Laughs are hot and heavy as bikini-clad Chrissy has to find a legal father to sign the therapeutic abortion papers.
Well, who do you think it was?
Gosh, it could have been anybody.
Three's Company, this Saturday at 9, 8 o'clock Central, with special guest Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain.
Coming up next, that new rockin', sockin', bebop, an hour-long hit game show, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah!
You think you've lost your love?
The first car of the 1990s is here today. The all-new 1986 AMC Pacer. The car with the nuclear engine. This baby's got a heart of pure plutonium, and it delivers over 6 million carefree miles per milligram of fuel. This is one hot mother, and performance? Like no other Pacer we've ever produced. The 1986 AMC Pacer, first car of the 90s.
The Surgeon General advises that nuclear-powered automobiles may be carcinogenic. Drive with caution and hold it for a short duration.
Coming up next, that new rockin', sockin', beboppin', and shoe-woppin' hit game show, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah!
Hello, friends. I'm James Fishstick, here to tell you about Igloo Mobile Homes. Are you tired of paying rent? Tired of paying money on a mortgage that never seems to get smaller? Tired of never having enough money to buy the necessary luxuries of life? Then sink your entire life savings into an Igloo Mobile Home. Igloo Mobile Homes are conditionally guaranteed for up to 4 months, and only the very finest gyprock and fiberboard go into their construction. The windows are fully reinforced with high-grade chicken wire, and each Igloo Mobile Home comes with a free electric heater that will keep you toasty warm in your combination living, dining, bed, and bathroom. That is the secret of why we can offer Igloo Mobile Homes at such an amazingly low price. We've done away with old-fashioned inner walls. You save time. Imagine never having to walk around room partitions. The savings is passed on to you, and the quality, well, there's just no comparison. Each Igloo Mobile Home is guaranteed for 3 months and weighs in at less than 150 pounds soaking wet. And each Igloo Mobile Home sold to a family of seven or more receives not one, not two, but three free umbrellas, not to mention our conditional one-month guarantee. Watch your screen for the nearest Igloo Mobile Home Center to you.
Igloo Mobile Homes. Call 628-5995. That's 324-1050. Once again, that number is 927-3486. Call today. When they said Elvis was dead, was it a massive joke? The star says yes. Remember Patty Hearst and the SLA? Well, she's back with her own weekly column, The Star Has It All. Are we already invaded by creatures from outer space? Former President Gerald Ford says yes. Read about it in The Star. What causes marital strife? Musician philosopher Johnny Rotten answers your questions in The Star, on sale everywhere. Rockin', sockin', bebopping, shoe-woppin', and thrill-poppin' hit game show, Yeah, 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 with your far-out groovy master of ceremonies, Wink Chippendale.
Thanks, Mr. Announcer Man. Before we bring on our contestants, let's introduce our celebrity guests. First, that gallivanting master of top-notch mystery and intrigue, Orson Bean.
Everybody, I got a new book out. It's about my accident and what life as a human vegetable is really like.
Sounds terrific, Orson. What is it, a serial comic indictment against the ruling MDs of this semi-imperialistic, war-mongering nation we all love and respect?
No, Wink, although that sure sounds like a good idea for my next book.
Far out, man. Far freaking out. Right on. Right on. But seriously, Orson, what's your book about?
About? It's about 3750!
Oh, you're a card, Orson. Right on, right on. But seriously, if you were to sum up the mood of your book, what would you say?
Well, Wink, seriously, I'd have to say that it's a book that tells you what it's like to see the world from the same level as a child. Or a rutabaga. I've been there, man. I've been there. And it's not a pretty sight, Wink, man.
Beautiful, Orson. Really too much. But let's bring out our second, but not number two, celebrity guest, the fabulous Margaret Trudeau. Tell us, Margaret, how is Teddy?
Oh, he's just fine. We've been so happy since we were married in July of last year. He says I'm much prettier than his other first lady.
That's just groovy, baby. But was it much of a shock when you were suddenly married to the president? I mean, with his getting a divorce while in office to marry you?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I absolutely adore living in the big house. I mean, right now I'm trying to talk Teddy into knocking down the west wing of the White House and turning it into a home for that absolutely, oh, super little man, the Shah of Iran. Either that or a disco. But I don't know. Who cares? You've just got to be happy in your life, man, you dig? No matter what it takes, you got to do it.
That's just great, Margaret. We'll be back to our two celebrities in a moment. But first, let's introduce our regular contestants. First, let's meet our champion, Myron Bender. How are you, Myron?
Oh, I'm just fine. A slight summer cold. Nothing really serious, although it could develop into a nasty case of bronchitis or even pneumonia if I'm not careful. My mother told me to make...
Sorry to hear that, moron. Hope you feel up to the game.
Well, I hope so, too. I really don't think I'm feeling quite that bad, though. Last time I had something like this, it just went away after a few days. This, I don't expect...
Right, okay, our challenger is a housewife school teacher from McCarty, Illinois. Ruth Honecker. Ruth, that's an unusual last name you have. Honecker, where did it come from, do you know?
Well, Wink, my husband's ancestors used to honeck for a living. Eventually, they became known as the Honeckers.
I see, I see. Isn't that interesting? Tell me, Ruth, you're a pretty lady with a nice shape on you. How did you decide to try out for this show?
Well, my family was trying to decide where to go for our holidays, and we thought, why not Hollywood? And here we are.
But how did you decide to try out for Yeah, Yeah, Yeah?
Oh, that. That was all my son Jimmy's doing. He sent in a photograph of me in a forged letter and told the producer of your show that I was willing to exchange sexual favors for a chance at prizes. And here I am.
Well, isn't that exciting? But enough of this trivial chit-chat. Let's get on with the game. You both know how to play, so I'll tell you again. Questions selected at random must be answered by you. The player at the end of the game with the most pennies wins. All of our questions about Fabulous Four, John, Paul, George, Ringo, the Beatles. Let's start with you, Ruth. Your first question is this. Who is stepping out with an old brown shoe?
Oh, my God. I know this one. George?
That's absolutely correct. Now for you, Myron. When Paul McCartney died suddenly in his early 40s, who took over the job of sod busting on his Scottish farm?
Could that have been John Lennon?
Sorry, moron. The answer is his manager, field hand Montgomery Bensonhurst. You sure blew that one, Myron. Shape up, right, audience? More of the program in a minute, but first, let's see an important message.
Hey, busy person. Tired of that same old hot sauce? Is your chili just not zingy these days? Is your hot tamale a cold fish? Are your peppers poop? Then why not try? Mandezuma brand hot sauce! It will enliven your enchilada, put flavor in your fritos, and add wow, wow, wow to your spaghetti, cabbage rolls, and sauerbrot. Just know a Montezuma brand hot sauce. Tastes like a real piece of Mexico in every jar.
Honey, I'm home. What's for dinner?
Oh, sweetheart, I had a very hectic day. The shooting schedule went way over budget, and the director was in a bad car accident. I didn't have time to cook anything for supper.
Let's go to Microwave with Haven.
Okay, let's go.
You say you want roast beef and you want it fast. You say you want asparagus, you want it to last.
Then come on over to our bit of heaven.
Come on down to your Microwave in Haven.
You want good food at an affordable price? You want something more than a pizza, a hamburger, a greasy taco? Then come on down to your nearest Microwave in Haven and select from our menu of over 80,000 gourmet delights, all ready in less than 15 seconds.
Mmm, boy, this is the best boar's head stew I've ever tasted.
And this very authentic Moldavian sparrow breast pie is superb.
And I love my quiche lorraine with the side order of crispy golden french fries. Can we come here again real soon?
You bet.
Come on over to our bit of heaven.
Come on down to your Microwave in Haven.
She loves you, yeah.
Well, let's double the stakes now and see how much instant money our contestant can make in just 2 seconds. But before we do that, let's take time to see this important message.
At last, a product that leaves your hair feeling so silky, so soft and light, you're gonna swear your hair is made of feathers. What's the secret?
We've discovered the key to ultra-soft hair here at the Mayo Clinic. It's carbolic acid. It leaves you with hair so fluffy, so fine, so baby delicate, you will swear your hair is now made of feathers.
New herbal-scented Carbola shampoo, made for today's hectic woman who can't bother with constant hair conditioning. One bottle and just see most of your hair problems go.
Hello, my name is Bob Guccione, and I'm the publisher of Pink House Magazine. Many people find my magazine in poor taste, but I just like to ask you, what is so repellent about the human body? A nude person is the most natural and beautiful thing on earth. I mean, what's wrong with nudity? We're all naked under our clothes. You'd be naked right now, except you have clothes on, probably. We're not living in the Victorian age, thank goodness. The human form is the greatest work of God and nature. Here, I'll prove it. Now, look at that. Isn't it beautiful? You yourself have probably even seen one, or maybe you're lucky enough to have one. Thank you for your time. And on behalf of my staff and myself at Pink House Magazine, on sale now. Hang loose.
What was your dream last night, George?
Oh.
First dream I've had in months. I'm sure it must have meant something.
Oh.
But of course, I don't know what.
What?
What it could have meant.
That's nice, dear.
I wish I could remember more of it.
Yeah?
But I slept through most of it.
Oh.
Have you dreamt much lately, George?
Not now, honey. The program's on. Later.
Has this ever happened to you?
It's Saturday night, and here I am with nothing to do again. Everyone else seems to have a steady boyfriend. All I get to do is watch TV. Pit City.
If this ever happens to you, why not come down to your local body shop? At the body shop, we don't repair cars. We repair yours Saturday night.
Hey, baby. How'd you like a couple of quick dances? We go out to my customized van and practice some new gymnastics.
boy, would I?
All our employees are handsome, strong young men of Italian descent with degrees from the University of California School of Discomania. And parents, don't worry. All our employees have been vasectomized by a certified doctor. So next lonely Saturday night, why not get out and go down at your nearest body shop? There's one near you.
Well, these commercials are going to go on all night. What were you saying?
Tell me about your latest dream.
My latest dream? Nah, you'd be bored.
No, I wouldn't.
You're just saying that. You'd be bored.
Oh, really, sweetheart, I wouldn't. Tell me.
My latest dream. About a week ago, I had a real vivid dream. It was one of those ones where you pinch yourself to see if you're awake and you're not, but you think you're awake because you just pinched yourself and your dream awake.
What was it about? Was I in it?
I dreamt I was in a huge field of ripening corn. It was all around me. Tall, straight, leafy stalks, the golden silk threads at the top of each huge ear like fine angel's hair. I must have been very young again because the corn was above me.
Maybe you were standing in a hole or a midget.
Standing in a midget?
No, I meant maybe you were a midget in your dream.
Oh. Well, anyway, all this around me is corn, but then I heard somebody calling me. George, they called. George. And I started to answer when I suddenly became frightened. What if it was about income tax, I thought, or maybe somebody doesn't like short people and they're after me.
Oh, how awful.
It was terrifying. Well, so I began cautiously walking towards the voice, pushing my way through the corn stalks when the voice was very near. I suddenly recognized it.
Who was it?
It was Enrico Caruso, the famous tenor.
But he's dead, isn't he?
Well, it was just a dream, wasn't it? What do you expect, total logic?
You're right. Go on. What did he want?
Well, Enrico pointed to where I was crouched, trying to get a look at him. He motioned me nearer, and I suddenly knew that he would do me no harm. So I walked over to him, and before I could say anything, he burst into song.
What did he sing?
Give my regards to Broadway. But it was off-key and badly garbled. It sounded like Chinese.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. I listened. When he finished his song, he jumped down from the little wooden crate that he was standing on, and he asked me to bring him an ear of corn.
Did you?
Well, I turned around, but the cornfield was gone. And there were only banana trees there now.
My.
I was shocked. There are only bananas, I said. And he glared at me, and I felt ashamed. But I handed him a banana anyway.
Then what happened? Did he want to eat it?
He stuck it in his ear. And then he thanked me? Got into his Model T, which I hadn't noticed before, and he drove away, leaving me alone beside the banana trees.
My.
The really strange thing was, as he was driving away, I could hear him singing, "Yes, we have no bananas," and this time, he was singing perfect.
Why is that so strange?
Well, the next day, I overheard a girl at work say that she thought all opera singers ought to have their eardrums pierced. The dream was a prophecy.
You must lead a very exciting sleep life.
Well, I suppose I have a few good dreams now and then.
Do you want to hear about my dream?
Well, the show's on.
George, the show's been on for the last 5 minutes, the whole time you've been talking.
All right. What was your dream about?
Well, you were a kangaroo, and I entered you in a prize fight against Muhammad Ali.
Who won?
He did. He knocked you out in the first minute.
Oh, great.
Well, it wasn't so great for him. I got the SPCA on his back.
Some dream.
I enjoyed it. I really don't dream very much.
If you enjoyed that, I'd say you were dreaming right now.
Don't be cruel, George. Not everybody has your imagination. We can't all be perfect.
Oh, stop it. You know, I think you're not bad. Why do you always talk about yourself like that?
I don't know. Sometimes I'm so fed up with myself. Why can't I just be happy with what I've got?
Because you're so ignorant?
I suppose.
Well, anyway, I'm getting pretty bored watching TV every night. It seems that's all we ever do anymore.
You were the one who wanted to watch...
And you're always blaming me for everything. I've reached a decision. I'm leaving you.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, but I'm bored and sick and tired of you and that damn TV you watch every night.
We don't have to watch TV. We could go out. We could do anything. George, don't. Please don't say you're leaving me.
My mind's made up. My girlfriend will be here any minute. I gotta go.
But you never said a thing.
How could I with you always watching that damn tube?
But...
There she is. I'll have my lawyers get in touch with you. You can have the house, the car, and the damn TV, whatever.
But I never knew you were unhappy.
Yeah, you keep your lousy TV. What more could you want?
Don't leave, George. Don't go. It's our anniversary.
I'm leaving, honey. She's waiting.
But who is she? I never even suspected.
She works in the office, and she has a video cassette recorder and a super large screen. She knows how to make a man happy.
George, you can't just...
Bye-bye.
All right. You know what's going to happen now, don't you? for getting Mommy away from that set.
He must have been serious. The Waltons are on next.
Come on, Mommy. Get away from the set. It's private time now for Captain Whack and Cracker and all his little friends now. Is Mommy away from the set? That's right. Okay, boys and girls. Now let's get our Captain Whack and Cracker cereal box out. All right. Now let's get down the bottom there in our little stash. And let's get out a cigarette and relax a little. Boys and girls.
The production you have just heard was George and Honey, an original radio play written by Jerry Everts, produced by Joseph March and Greg Springhall. It featured the voices of Roger Ward, Hilary Stipe, Greg Springhall, Sonia Nesko, Suzanne Tabata, Diane Bodner, Greg Plant, Marianne Roller, Steve Shea, Jerome Q. Everts, and Joseph Q. March.
No, let's just keep it
okay,
like that.
We'll just keep it like that. Let's see. Script copyright 1980 by Media Holdings Unlimited. The author, producer, and performers would like very much to get in touch with wealthy and privileged people who would be willing to pay us vast amounts of money to do this full time, with 3 or 4 or even 9 months of the year as a paid holiday. You can turn your radio off now. That's the end. Whatever follows won't be anywhere near as good as the last show. Turn your damn radio off now. Do it! Move!
Are you sick and tired of watching those same old situation comedies? Are you horribly overwrought and anxiety-stricken over the present human condition? Are you smoking too much? Then why not take a few moments out to listen to an original radio play called George and Honey? Perhaps it'll make you smile. Perhaps it'll make you frown. Perhaps it'll make you want to go skiing. Who knows? You people are so weird, you might do anything. Did I say who knows? What I meant was, who cares? Listen to George and Honey on UBC's own radio station, CITR, on Sunday, March 23rd at 3 o'clock, and on Thursday, March 20th at 9 o'clock. It might not change your life, but it could change your socks.
Shoppers, our daily special is now in the frozen food section. Today we feature whole giant squid, only 79 cents a pound. Cranes and dump trucks may be rented at the express checkout.
Well, my God, then he said to me, just what do you think you're doing? And I said, I don't know what I'm doing. So he said, well, I don't know what you're doing. So then I said,
what were you doing?
How should I know what I was doing? All I know is that he didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I guess you could say neither of us knew what I was doing. So what did it matter what I was doing?
Really?
I mean, sometimes he's really unbearable. He just expects me to make his bed, cook his food, clean his house, wash his clothes, wax his floors, scrub his walls, purchase his liquor, wipe his nose, polish his car, dry clean his suits, mail his letters, feed his dog, massage his back, cut his hair, darn his socks, trim his nails, empty his trash, open his beer, laugh at his jokes, chuckle at his wits, and fondle his...
Oh, no, all the same.
Aren't they? I don't know.
I don't know.
Sometimes I feel like I should leave him.
Leave him? Really?
Oh, yes. Maybe I should leave him.
But what would you do? Where would you go?
Go back to my husband. At least his house was smaller, but he was bald.
Oh, my God.
Makes you want to scream, doesn't it?
What is this world coming to?
I just don't know.
Neither do I.
Mr. Godot? Mr. Godot, check stand 3, please.
May I help you, ladies?
Yes, please. I'd like to buy a nice box of raspberries, please.
Certainly, madam. Do these suit you?
I don't know. Are they nice?
Very nice, madam. Handpicked just 15 minutes ago by a one-eyed Negro Lascar with a hair lip and freckles.
Oh, well now, that is service. Go on, buy them, Gloria.
You think so, dear Jean? All right, those will be fine.
A wise decision, madam. May you not live to regret it.
I certainly hope not.
As you know, madam, the avowed policy of jam tarts is to provide you with all the convenience and wide selection of the common or garden variety supermarket, but with that personal quality that appeals to snobs and other fools who don't mind paying double just so they can order around an underpaid lackey, such as myself. Now then, what else might I overcharge you for here in our carefully arranged produce department?
I'd like some okra.
What a noble thing to say. This, as you no doubt suspect, is not ordinary okra. This okra comes from the original plant which first bore this delectable comestible. Picked first thing this morning, it has been flown from the only official American state qualified to grow it, Oklahoma. Now then, how much would you like?
68 tons, please.
Right away, madam. I shall have to use two bags.
I understand.
Very good. Excuse me one moment.
My, you certainly do get good service here.
Yes, and did you notice the bulge in the front of that young man's pants?
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry, madam. I've just had a look, and we've only got 37 tons on the counter. If you wait one moment, I'll send a stocker to the back for the other 31 tons. Boy, you there, boy.
What the hell do you mean, boy? That's what I get around here, boy. Christ, it makes me sick. I waste my time in this dump working for those witless jam tarts and their sniveling plant for a lousy 15 cents a week. That makes me mad.
Boy, go to the back and bring up another 31 tons of okra on the double.
All right, all right. Put your belly aching, I'll get the stinking okra.
You just can't get good health anymore.
Oh, damn it. Another 2 cents a week, I'd quit. I should have done what my mother wanted me to do. I should have been a thief. There were better hours, the pay's good, and you're your own boss. Hey, hiya, Bobby. How's it going?
Not bad, man. What can I do for you?
Some old cow up front with 31 tons of okra.
Yeah, right, man. Here you are. You want me to ground glass in with this load?
Better not. I think they're getting suspicious. There's not too many repeat customers these days.
Yeah, okay, man. Here's the okra.
Right. See you later. Unless I go insane and decide to shoot a few people.
Yeah, well, that'd be different anyway.
Get okra. Get tomatoes. Get Armenian goat plants. Get bleeding rare Congolese noodle tree seedlings. Jesus! There's a pain in the rectum.
Is that it? 31 tons?
Yeah, 31 tons.
Maybe I'll get an even 70 tons.
A boy, two more.
Ah! All right, all right.
Anything else for you, madam?
No, thank you. We're going to the meat department. Could you send my stuff up to the front?
Certainly, madam. May I have your name?
Mrs. Throat Constrictor.
Fine, Mrs. Throat Constrictor. They'll be by the first checkout counter. Have a nice day.
Oh, you get such good service here. They're all so helpful. You're right there.
Lousy two stinking tons of okra. Makes me puke. You tight-ass old bitches. I'd like to see them all have their teeth pulled out slowly.
Of course, there are always exceptions.
You can't escape that, I suppose. By the way, aren't you going to buy anything yourself?
No, I just like to be in a place where so many things are safely locked in tin cans or sealed behind glass. It makes me feel, I don't know, secure, I guess.
What do you two want?
I'd like to buy a large sirloin, please.
Meat, eh? You want it fresh, or would you prefer some special stuff I've been keeping out in the trunk of my car?
I'd like fresh meat, please.
Okay. I'll get you stuff so fresh it'll squirm when you bite into it. Stuff so fresh it'll squirt blood when you cut into it. I can see it now. Blood all over the walls. Guts and tendons and eyeballs draped and dripping from the chandelier. Oh, God. Oh, God, excuse me.
Where'd you go?
I don't know. You just disappeared toward the back there.
There you are. A nice sirloin. I got that so fast I lost a thumb. See?
You just make sure you keep it off the scale.
Sure, lady. This is an honest operation.
Oh, of course. I did not mean to imply that you had deliberately cheated me. I simply...
No. No, you think I'm a crooked butcher. Just because I got a broken nose and only three fingers, everybody thinks I'm a crook.
Please don't be.
Well, I'm not a crook. I'm not a thief. I'm not a murderer, not a rapist, not a kidnapper, not a pickpocket, a villain, a knave, or even a cad. I can't stand it anymore. Goodbye, Cole!
Oh, dear. How awful.
Have you ladies been helped?
Right, that fellow was getting near sirloin, but he suffered a total mental breakdown before he finished my order, and he threw himself into a meat cutter.
I'm terribly sorry, but he hasn't been himself lately. We've been telling him to pull himself together, but anyway, here is your sirloin, madam.
Thank you. I'd also like to have 6 pounds of blubber, if I may.
A very fine choice, madam. If you will attend, I shall present you with your flesh.
How exciting!
Will the store emergency medical unit go immediately to the meat department? Bring a lot of bandages. Thank you.
Here we are, ladies. Go on, Jim. Open the door.
Need yourself, sucker. No can do, boss. Old Mr. Bender, you know? Old Ben, he done locked himself in that meat locker. And he done welded the door shut from the inside. Shit.
My God, when did he do this?
6 days ago.
Why didn't you report this?
Hey, man, I just sweep up, turkey.
Well, try to open it anyway. These ladies are customers.
Oh, sorry, ladies. Right away. Lord have mercy. Look in here.
That's incredible. He ate all the frozen food.
He never touched a green giant frozen hojuki and chunks of lumber sauce, though.
Why, that Hispanic so-and-so.
Yeah, hold on, boss. Hold on.
Why, Lord have mercy, one more time. The mother's alive.
Old Bend, you've been in that frozen food locker for 6 whole days and nights.
Well, yes, sir, I know I was. I guess I should have punched my time card before I went in, but... The boys were in such a rush to me in, there wasn't the time.
But you've been in there for 6 whole days.
All right. You only have to pay me for my regular 8 hours a day.
Boss, what have you done said about us locking him in? Well, it ain't true.
Oh, no, it wasn't true at all. I'm
glad to hear it, Ben. You feel up to restocking those shelves?
I don't know. Sure, I guess. What the hell?
Fine. Tell me, Ben, did you eat Mrs. Third Constrictor's portion of blubber?
Oh, no, sir. You eat for a pillow, ma'am.
Thank you.
Oh, there's no need to thank me, honey. I just work here.
Jimmy, take him away.
Old Mr. Bender's
been with us for over 100 years. Mr. Jam Tart's great-great-grandfather hired him and set his pay rate. He's a wonderful old character, isn't he?
Oh, wonderful. Definitely wonderful.
Yes, and inexpensive to run.
Definitely inexpensive.
Oh, inexpensive.
Well, ladies, it's been pleasant having this exchange of ideas, but I've got some bones to saw through, so if there's nothing else, I'll be going back to my real purpose in life.
Thank you. You've been a great help.
Where to now?
Let's head over to the head offices. I heard that Ed McMahon was going to stop in the jam tart store and eat lunch.
Boy, these people ride in style.
Mr. Karamazov, your brother will meet you in the parking lot.
The jam tarts happen to be related by marriage to one of the world's great Eddie Cantor impersonators.
My word! Oh, look, is that Ed McMahon?
Which one? The big fat guy holding 8 sandwiches at once? Or the man eating a pound of caviar, wearing a very obvious girdle and shaking like an epileptic with a DT's?
Yes.
I don't know.
May I help you, ladies?
Oh! Mr. Jam Tart, you startled me.
Hello, Mr. Jam Tart.
I'm sorry, ladies, but I must ask y'all to leave. We got a very special guest for lunch today.
I told you.
I know. You told me. Where is he?
See that very thin, very short man in the corner eating a wing? That's Ed McMahon's chauffeur.
Oh, well, almost the same thing.
They ride in the same car.
All the time.
And he's probably driven you know who. And who knows who else.
That's right. Oh, please, Mr. Jam Tart, please. I've always wanted to meet a chauffeur.
That's right. She's always wanted to meet a chauffeur.
I am sorry, ladies. Now, stand clear of the metal teeth, or you might get hurt when the door closes.
Oh, Don, we might have met him.
Just think, he's probably breathed the same air as Charlton Heston and Roderick Crawford.
He's probably drunk from the same glass as Rackler Welsh and Rod McKeown.
He's probably eaten off the same plate as Elvis Presley. And my God, Farrah.
He's probably slept with Grace Kelly and her daughter.
Well, probably not that.
Oh, yes, you're right. I got carried away for a moment.
You know what we should do? We should write an article for Reader's Digest. You know, for the most memorable person I ever met stories.
That's a good idea. After the story's published, we can turn it into a book. Then we'll get on to Tom Snyder's show. Then the book will become a movie script. And we'll get on to You Know Who's show, where we got our break in the first place. And from there, who knows?
Let's write it tomorrow.
Okay. Wait. No, I can't tomorrow. How about Thursday?
That's a bad day for me.
Well, one of these days.
For sure.
For sure. Okay, let's get into the aisles and do some real shopping.
How exciting.
Mr. Godot? Mr. Godot, we're still waiting at check stand 3. Mr. Godot, to check stand 3, please.
Tell me, what sorts of canned stuff do you want?
Just some canned vegetables, canned meat, the usual. Here's the spinach department.
There's so many brands. There must be hundreds.
723 different brands of spinach, ma'am.
Why so many?
How the hell should I know? You people think there are more brands worth buying, I guess. I don't know. I just work here.
But isn't spinach spinach?
Well, yes and no. You see, this here is Roach's brand silica sand spinach packed in pure Sahara Desert quartz particles. This here is Popeye's super spinach for kitty winkies. Popeye's is specially formulated and manufactured so that even little boys and girls who don't like spinach will eat it up.
Well, that sounds admirable. How do they do that? By putting Popeye's picture on the label and making the children identify with their hero?
Not exactly. What they've done is make sure there is absolutely no spinach in the can.
Then it's not spinach at all.
But it is, ma'am. You see, thanks to a little-known law that was passed by the Geneva Convention 40-odd years ago, labels do not have to tell you what is in the can.
So what you're telling us is that what we get in the can isn't necessarily what we expect to find in the can.
Oh, no, ma'am, not at all.
Well, thank goodness. I was worried for a moment.
You see, the law doesn't just apply to canned goods. It's most especially useful to all the fast food chains. Nobody really knows a dictionary definition of 100% pure beef, do they? I mean, there's not an awful lot of beef gets thrown away these days.
But it doesn't taste like it's anything less than decent meat. You're telling us that they're using all of the cow?
I'm sorry, ma'am. I seem to have misled you once again. The words beef and cow really have very little to do with each other these days. For instance, I might get into a beef and begin insulting some old cow who won't let me get on with my job. You see what I'm getting at?
I think so.
Yes, we should be moving along.
Is that all?
Yes, thank you. Oh, dear. Oh, my.
Well, they say you learn something new every day.
Even if you didn't want to know it.
Oh, come now. You never really believed those hamburgers were all that great, did you?
That's not the point. I just trusted that nice clown, that's all.
Well, I never trust a man who wears that much makeup.
I suppose you're right. It's really not worth worrying about. After all, as the man said, we're born just to suffer and die.
Which man said that?
Jean-Paul Sartre, I think. Either him or Woody Allen.
What a depressing thing to say.
I don't know. My sister had 16 different kinds of cancer before she finally died. Whenever I'd visit her in hospital, I'd say, well, dear, remember, we're born just to suffer and die.
And what would she say?
She wouldn't say anything. She was too heavily sedated.
Mr. Godot, Mr. Godot, will you please get your ass over to check stand 3? Mr. Godot, Mr. Godot, move it. Move it.
Well, me ladies, we're introducing several new gourmet delights, and for the next week we'll be giving away free samples. Would you care to try some of our nouveau delicacies?
Oh, I'd love to. What do you have?
First, might I recommend our lightly battered, extra crispy, deep-fried truffling snouts? These are the very same porcine nostrils used in France to find the elusive truffle.
Very tasty.
Are they expensive?
Not at all, madam, when you consider a tiny can of French truffles will cost you $75 and at expensive food store, these hog sinuses are absolute giveaway at only $59.95 a 3-ounce tin.
They are good. What else do you have?
Well, for those of you who are bothered by nervousness caused by coffee, but still wanting that lift good coffee gives, we're introducing our new line of Adrenaline brand fruit juices enriched with vitamin C, all made with 100% reconstituted fruit juice and the purest extract from the living adrenal glands of primates. Here, try our baboon-enriched blueberry cocktail.
Very nice.
Yes. Very, very nice. Oh my God, that's wonderful. What a chick. Wow.
We offer 12 different flavors, all for the low, low price of $19.95 a 10cc serving. This was test marketed in some of the, shall we say, seedier parts of Puerto Rico and New York, and it caught on like wildfire.
I'll take a case. I'll take two. Yes, I want two as well.
Sorry, ladies. Only one case to a customer. We want to try and keep accidental poisoning to a minimum our first month of operation. I'm sure you understand.
I suppose. Shall we take them with us for safekeeping?
There's no need. I can have it set up in front with the other groceries if you like. May I have your name?
Throat constrictor.
Fine, madam. They'll be at the first checkout stand.
Thank you very much. Come on, Jean. Let's finish shopping. We only have 17 more aisles to go. What was that? It sounded like shooting.
Oh, my God.
Okay, scum. That's all the orders I'm taking. From now on, you can get your own seedless grapes.
He's in the next aisle.
Shh. He'll hear us.
Excuse me, shoppers. There's a mad killer loose in the store. Will all customers exit promptly? And on your way out, why not pick up some sweeties for the kids? Only 79 cents an ounce at our candy counter, located next to the bakery.
It's that young man who was so upset about your okra. He sounds insane.
They think they can push Arnold P. Knickers around. Well, they have another thing coming.
You're right. It is him. What are we going to do?
I have an idea. See that huge pile of tin spaghetti at the end of this aisle? We can get to it. We can sort of burrow inside it, and he'd never find us. And if he did find us, maybe those cans would stop the bullet. Well, I rather doubt that, but it's our only chance. Now, do what I do. Crawl on your belly to the spaghetti. Hurry now.
Ow! I broke a nail!
What was that? Who's there?
Oh, no.
I see you. Don't make a move.
I don't think he can see us. He's bluffing. Keep going.
Think I can't see you, eh? Take a look to your right. Yeah, just above the freeze-dried eels and the shark burger paste. See the gun? Well, that gun can see you too, ladies, so don't move.
My God! My God! What are we going to do?
Don't panic. Stay calm. Maybe we can reassure him that no one means him any harm. If we could only convince him that nobody wants to hurt him, then he's in no danger himself.
All right, you slimy little creep. We've surrounded the building and every one of the staff and customers have been evacuated. You've got 2 seconds until we turn you into a layer of warm pork fat.
I wonder if that'll calm him down.
We're done for! We're done for! There's over $300 worth of groceries waiting for me. I can't die now!
I'm gonna give you just 2.5 seconds to surrender, you foul, stinking piece of doggy poo. Your time starts now! That's one. Two. All right, men. Load rifles. Ready tear gas cannons. Alert city council. Call my lawyer. Phone my wife. I'll be late for supper. All right, this is it, men. Fire!
Fire? Where? We should call the fire department.
No, no. Fire at the suspect.
Oh, I see. We thought you meant there was a fire in the building. We were confused.
No, never mind. Now it's not suspenseful anymore.
Sorry. Want to take it from the top, sir?
Yeah. Fire means shoot. Got it?
Got it.
Okay.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! He's got a gun on us!
Damn! Hostages! Officer Flakes!
You want me to shoot now, sir?
No, I want you to sneak around behind the suspect and get to those women. Then just sit tight, okay?
Yes, sir.
You to be quiet. I don't think anybody is supposed to know you're sitting tight near those women. So keep quiet.
Okay. Sitting tight.
Quietly.
Why do I bother? Officer Scales?
Yes, sir. Right here, sir.
I want you to try and move in behind the suspect himself. If you get the chance, you're going to shoot to kill.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Not at all, officer. I'm going home and have a hot shower. See you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Begging your pardon, sir, but who'll be left in charge if you leave?
You rookies have to be told everything, don't you? Give me a quarter. Now call it when it's in the air.
Heads.
It's tails. Officer Flakes is in command. See you tomorrow.
Hold it, sir. That's my 25 cents you just pocketed. Imagine that. A detective sergeant as teeth. Hey, Flakes! The boss left me in charge!
Bloody favoritism!
Cut the crap! Let's do your thing and do it now!
I can't see any sign of the gunman, can you?
No. Wait. Here's his gun! He's gone! Damn it! He must have gone out the back!
You ladies okay?
I'm fine. Just a little shaken up is all.
Can we go home now?
I suppose. Come down to the station house tomorrow and file a statement if you would.
Of course, we citizens must work hand in glove with these plucky and brave men in blue if we're to stop this terrible urban unrest.
Don't forget your groceries.
Oh, right. Here they are, right beside the first check stand. See you tomorrow, officer.
Just a minute, lady. Did you pay for those groceries?
Well, the store's empty. There's no one...
Freeze! Better fire a couple of warning shots, Officer Scales.
You can't even trust housewives these days. It's all that Valium.
All right, Godot. Everybody's gone. To hell with you. Nobody's waiting anymore.